John 10, verse 11 to 15. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Well, can I just start by saying a huge thank you to the young people. It was absolutely fantastic sitting back and enjoying it all. I felt like sitting there all night, but I'm afraid I've got to come and do this bit as well. And also, just to all my leaders, they've absolutely fantastic. It's been a very busy week for the leaders with our banquet last night, and they are an amazing team. So thank you, and I thank God for each one of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for our young people, and we want to thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. Jesus, who we celebrate this day, and the day that we look back to is that Christmas day when we celebrate your birth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Help us now to listen and apply the truth of your word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can see we've been looking at the cast of Christmas over this holiday period, and we're looking. We've been looking at angels and Zechariah this morning, and tonight we're looking at shepherds, because shepherds, as we've already seen, have a big part to play in the Christmas story. And when we think about shepherds, we often think about them looking rather cute and lovely. And here's a wonderful example of two very cute-looking children who wouldn't dare be rude to their father. And, you know, we kind of expect them to be like that, but actually, they're more like... This clicker's not working, guys, so you're going to need to click for me. They're more like this, aren't they? They're kind of more like the guys we saw second who are out here, sort of rather scruffy and smelly and low in social standing. And a lack of influence in the community. And so, you know, as we look at the shepherds in the New Testament, we'd have also thought, you know, they would have been rather sort of social outcasts, because they wouldn't even be able to fulfill many of the rituals that are expected of Jews at that time around the temple and the Sabbath laws and things like that. So why does God choose to reveal his glory in the angels and to announce the good news of his Messiah, the King, to the shepherds? Why? I mean, it's a bit like this, isn't it? Next slide. You see, Andy and Anna Milton Thompson have just had a little baby girl. And just imagine Andy wanting to share this great news with people in his community. And so what he does, he gathers the church choir and he says, right, come early in the morning and just hide down behind the shed and behind the hedge. And he puts his wheelie bin out and he waits for the bin men to come. And as they start coming down the road, they start to hear the screeching and the trundling of the bins, and the flashing light starts shining off all the houses. And it gets closer and closer, and eventually the bin man gets up to the bin. And then what happens? Out pop from the bin comes Robin Shaw. Great news! Andy's had a baby! And the bin man sort of staggers back and says, what? And then the choir jumps up from behind the hedge and they start singing, great news! Of good news, of great joy! Andy and Annie Milton Thompson have had a baby girl called Olivia. Now, that would be absolutely bizarre, wouldn't it? Now, the bin man would probably be very surprised and baffled by all of this. But also, he would be pleased, wouldn't he? He would love to share that news and have a little bit of fuss made of him that morning. And then as we'd go on around his round, he would probably be saying to people, hey, look, come on, I never guess what's happened. I just heard from number three that they've had a baby, and the choir and the bin and it was amazing. And people would be scratching their head thinking, What a load of old rubbish. But do you get what I mean? Why would God announce this great news to the shepherds, who were like the bin men of the day? I apologise to any bin men here. So why the shepherds? And that's the question we're going to look at tonight. Why the shepherds? Well, firstly, we're going to be thinking about the shepherds, because by announcing this news to the shepherds, Jesus, or God, is calling judgment on the rotten rulers. You see, in the Bible, we find two types of shepherds. The first type of shepherd is one who is the good shepherd, one who takes care of their sheep, who takes their sheep to good pasture, who strengthens their sheep and treats those who are weak and sick, and protects the sheep from enemies. But then you've got the second type of sheep, who don't care for their sheep, but they care only for themselves. They eat the food, they put the clothes on that the sheep provide, they treat the sheep harshly and slaughter the best ones for themselves. They don't protect the sheep from their enemies, and then the sheep scatter across the land. And what this is telling us, and the Bible consistently uses sheep as a metaphor for leaders. Shepherds as a metaphor for leaders. And that's what we can see here, where we've got this good sheep. The good shepherds are those who lead the people well. But the bad shepherds are those who just lead the people for themselves, for their own good. And they will mistreat the people and not protect them properly from their enemies. And even at times they will slaughter the sheep or the people for their own gain. And Herod is a great example of that, isn't it? As the Magi come to Herod and tell him that they've seen the star for this new baby king that's been born, Herod pretends that he wants to go and worship the king, but actually, as a bad shepherd, he wants to slaughter that baby and sends his soldiers down into Bethlehem and kills all the baby boys under the age of two. So let's have a look in Ezekiel 34 that was read to us earlier. And here it's talking about a judgment that falls on these bad shepherds. Remember, they're the bad leaders of the people. So Ezekiel 34 verse 2 says, "This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock." So why shepherds? Because it's judgment on those rotten rulers. You see, God announced this great news to the lowly people, the shepherds, in order to place judgment on those high people of society, those religious leaders, or the leaders, kingly leaders of the time. And he's condemning them by revealing this great news to these lowly shepherds. And it's reminding them, of course, of these prophecies in Ezekiel 34. You see, those rotten rulers, they only wanted to exalt themselves. They were all in it for what they could get out of it. And they would be judged. They would be humbled. But the humble shepherds will be exalted and lifted up and given this great privilege to go and see the baby king, the Lord Jesus. And what do at Christmas time? Do we want Christmas to be all about me? Do we want to get the presents just for ourselves? Do we want the decorations to be the very best we possibly can so that people will be impressed with us or our houses? Do we want to eat as much food as we can? Do we want to get invited to all of the good parties and go and have as good a time as possible just for me and my pleasure? You see, if we just celebrate Christmas, and yes, we've got lots to celebrate, but if we just celebrate it for ourselves, thinking that it's all about what I can get, then that's no different to those rotten rulers. The Bible calls that sort of attitude about being selfish, calls it sin. And sin deserves the judgment of God. Whereas the right attitude towards Christmas is to have that humble heart, like a shepherd, who doesn't think that they deserve anything. And yet the Lord blesses them so much with this wonderful announcement of the King, the gift of the Messiah. So why shepherds? We thought about them, it being a judgment on the rotten rulers. But the next one is why shepherds? Because Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, what makes a good shepherd? Next slide, please. What makes a good shepherd? Now, this guy, he's got a nice crook, and he's got a nice flat cap, and he's got a woolly jumper. Does that make him a good shepherd? And, of course, he's got a very big sheepdog. Well, actually, this sheepdog, next slide, please, is actually his car. And he spent £2,000 converting his car, which wasn't a Rover, by the way, and he put it into a giant sheepdog. And he built it as a tribute to his dog, Floss, who sadly died. But unfortunately, Mr. Isaac, the farmer, didn't quite work out the measurements of the lane where his farm was, and he couldn't get it out of the field where he'd bought. And it wouldn't fit through the gate, it wouldn't go down the lane, so whilst he was trying to herd the flocks with it, it could only get out of one field. It was only stuck in one field. So not a particularly good shepherd. But why shepherds? Because it points to Jesus being the good shepherd. Remember what the angels said to those shepherds when they appeared? In Luke 2, verse 11, it said, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And in Luke 2, chapter verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favour rests." You see there, the shepherds are told that Jesus, this baby, is going to be the Saviour. It's going to be the Messiah. That's the promised anointed King that's talked about in the Old Testament. And that this King, this promised Messiah, this Saviour, would bring peace in the world. Not peace against wars, but peace between mankind and God. And also that he would bring favour on whom his favour rests. So people who trust in Jesus would get tremendous blessing. And it all sounds rather like the good shepherd that we read about in Ezekiel 34. You can see in Ezekiel 34, in verse 12, that it says, "As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness." Sounds like a saviour. Sounds like someone rescuing. Ezekiel 34, verse 23 says this, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd." What a great shepherd. And then Ezekiel 34, verse 25, "I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of savage beasts so that they may live in the wilderness and sleep in the forests in safety. I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. I will send down showers in season and there will be showers of blessing." Now that sounds very much like the person that the angels were talking about to the shepherds. And so as the shepherds heard that, they would have no doubt known in the Bible all about Ezekiel 34, because as a shepherd you would be longing for the good shepherd. And so they would have twigged these words, peace, Saviour, son of David. Amazing. But not only that, if you look in Ezekiel 34, it also says lots of other things that God would do for his people. It says he will search for the sheep. He will look after the sheep. He will rescue the sheep. He will bring them in from the nations. He will give them their own land. And he will give them the very best pasture. And he will search for the lost. He will bring back the strays. and he will bind up the injured, and he will strengthen the weak. And it goes on. In Ezekiel 34, it's such a passage rich with wonderful things that God will do for his people as the good shepherd. You know, God loves us so much as the good shepherd loves his sheep. We don't deserve that. And yet God is pouring out his very best for us. And his very best includes Jesus. As we look at John chapter 10, we see there that Jesus himself declares that he is that good shepherd. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Now, knowing, of course, Ezekiel 34 and that pointing to the fact that the good shepherd would come, and knowing that the Ezekiel 34 talks so much about that it is God who is the good shepherd, Jesus boldly declares that he is that good shepherd. He is God. And then he announces the amazing good news of how Jesus would rescue us. And that is by laying down his own life. That's how much Jesus cares for you. That's how much he loves you, to die for you. Incredible journey, isn't it, that Jesus took? There he was, the Son of God in heaven. And he took this journey from heaven down to become a tiny seed in Mary's womb. And there he grew as a baby. He was born in a stable. He lived a perfect life. But there, as he grew and as he started his ministry, he was confronted by, if you like, all of those bad, rotten shepherds, the rulers of Israel, who hated him, who wanted the people of Israel for their own benefit. And eventually Jesus handed himself over to those rotten rulers. And there they killed him. But a bit like the other shepherd boy in the Old Testament, King David. When David was a shepherd boy, he came and he defeated Goliath. Well, Jesus defeated the evil one, the great monster, the great beast, if you like, that's described in Ezekiel 34. And Jesus is the one who's got the victory. And he did that so that you could be freed from sin, free from the punishment of sin, free to now be in a relationship with God, free to be in his flock, protected by under his care, and given this tremendous blessing that is poured out on us. What a good shepherd Jesus is. And of course, as the shepherds went down to Bethlehem and they saw Jesus, they were filled with joy. And I hope your heart is filled with joy about this great news of what Jesus has done for you. But if it isn't, if your heart feels cold or hard, if you're just not sure about what this all means, then can I encourage you to keep seeking, to keep looking at this. Maybe take one of the books that's out in the foyer. We're happy to give you one that's called Uncover. And that will help you to read the story for yourself. So you don't rely on just what I say, but you look at the words of the Bible for yourself. But that takes us on to our third reason. And that is, why shepherds? For the joy of all the people. Now, we had a fantastic banquet last night at our altar, and we had great fun. We had all the guys were dressed up in various Disney costumes, and we had a grotty grotto. We had a fantastic roast turkey dinner, and we had musical chairs and all sorts of fun. It was great. It was a joy to be there. It was a joy to be a leader as well. And this week at church, we've had so many different parties. The Discoverers have had a party. The Thursday Club have had a party. Tuesday Fellowship have had a party. It wasn't quite as loud, but it was still good. And Fairham have had a party. Globe have had a party. There's been so many parties. What are we celebrating? Well, it's great to celebrate, isn't it? It's wonderful to celebrate. But if we don't celebrate the fact that it's Jesus who's come, that he's not the one to give us the source of our joy, then the celebration will last for a while and then just go. No. What did those shepherds do? They ran down in joy, didn't they, to Bethlehem. And there they saw the baby Jesus for themselves. And as they ran there, they were filled with great joy. Have a look at verse 10 of Luke chapter 2. First of all, the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the shepherds." And then when the shepherds returned, in verse 20, they were glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You see, the great news of Christmas is that it's about Jesus who's come. Jesus, the Son of God, who came down to earth to be the Saviour of the world. And if that is not exciting us, then your Christmas joy will just diminish as quickly as anything. And you'll just be left with a mess of the party. Whereas with the joy of knowing Jesus, then no matter what our circumstances are, whether our life is going well, we can feel joyful. But even if our life is going bad, and we're suffering just such tremendous loss or pain or difficulty, we can still feel that wonderful joy of knowing Jesus, because he is our Saviour. He gives us that hope to go through. He is the one who is with us all the time through those difficulties. What a Saviour we have in Jesus. And then these shepherds are so full of joy that they want to then go and tell everybody. Look at verse 17 of Luke 2. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You see, once you've got the joy of knowing what Christmas is about, like the shepherds, it should just bubble out of us. And we should be so keen to tell people all about this wonderful thing that's happened, about Jesus coming from heaven to earth to die for us on the cross. So what about us? What about us? Do you have the sense of joy that the shepherds have? Are you praising God for that joy this Christmas? Not just enjoying the celebrations, but taking it to a praise of Jesus. And are you spreading the word? I'd encourage you to think about that. Think about people in your community who you can tell about Jesus and invite them next week to the carol services maybe. Well, we've been thinking about why shepherds. We've been thinking, first of all, the shepherds show that there is a judgment on those who reject Jesus. Secondly, we thought that there's shepherds because it is Jesus who is the good shepherd. Jesus is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. And thirdly, because Jesus wants to give joy to the whole world. And it's those shepherds, the lowest, who went to see Jesus and were so filled with joy. And what about you? Are you filled with joy this Christmas? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful Christmas story that tells us so much about you, Lord Jesus. Help us then, Lord, to know you. Not just to join in all the celebration, but with a cold heart towards you. That will just die and end in judgment. But Lord, by your mercy, fill us, we pray, with the real joy of knowing you, so that as we celebrate, we turn and accept you as our Lord and Saviour and share that joy with others, encouraging them too to come and hear this good news. In Jesus' name, amen.